Tear gas loaded. Ready to launch.
Good.
One of the monitors blurred briefly and flickered before changing from an exterior view to one of inside the bunker, a small room with what looked like airfoils fitted with rocket engines lined up, three abreast. Only the front two, farthest from the camera, were in use. Christie knew this as they carried a payload that the others lacked, and they were surrounded by multi-armed cylindrical robots that moved on wheels and tracks. It was a smooth, impressive operation as the robots readied the airfoils for launch, then moved away. It was only as they did this that it hit Christie. These were the workers of whom Sid had spoken. These were the remains of the original staff, their brains deployed in machinery, their humanity long since vanished. Christie felt sick. She was not one of the family. That could have been her. She couldn't imagine what it would be like to have your identity ripped from your body and placed in a tin can, to be slowly drained until there was nothing left of your essence. Did they know what they had once been? How had it felt to have your soul disappear? Was there a point where you ceased to exist? Where you were nothing, dead for all intents and purposes? Or was there just a small piece of awareness still in there somewhere, screaming impotently for release? Another reason to make sure that this hellish place was destroyed and the trapped souls given release. Her attention snapped back to the airfoils as the first row moved forward.
Deploy!
Christie could follow from monitor to monitor as the airfoils left their hangar and traveled up a shaft that led to the surface. The entrance to the shaft was well hidden, and it was only when they broke the surface, scattering sand and topsoil, that she was able to pinpoint the exits on the relevant monitor.
Launch success, 100%. Target arrival, 120 seconds and counting.
Do not worry, Storm Girl. Jack won't be hurt. The tear gas will merely be enough to force him back to where the others are. Sid, what are they doing?
They appear to be doing nothing, sir. It looks like they are, well, waiting.
Storm Girl, what are they doing?
Christie shrugged, even though she had a good idea.
I just don't know, Thunder Rider.
Jack felt the vibrations of the airfoils as they were launched, even before the sound of their engines reached him or their silver fuselages were caught by the moon. He kept moving, but spared a glance back. Ryan and JB flanked the armored wag, watching. Mildred and Doc were in front. Jack quickly turned back to face front as he ran. He spotted the silver bodies now, saw the payload beneath each of the three machines. It had to be a bomb of some kind, and he was running right into their path. He looked around him, reading the contours of the land. Each of the machines dropped its load simultaneously. One was headed straight for him. The others, toward his companions. Jack threw himself to the side, following a new path between the mines. As the payload landed, Jack realized that the mines had been disabled. He could use this to his advantage. But what was in those bombs? Even as the question crossed his mind, he realized that it was gas of some kind, as a vaporous white mist trailed across the land. It picked up what little light there was and looked like spun silk in strands, entangling the very air around him. It seemed to enfold him even as he tried to move out of the way. He tried to hold his breath, but he knew this was useless. Most of the gas could be absorbed through skin anyway, but it was a reflex action. The gas made his eyes sting and water. He rubbed at them involuntarily, knowing, even as he did, that it would only make things worse. His lungs were filled with a stinging, cloying grip. He'd lost sense of direction. He could keep going forward, but he didn't know what forward was anymore. There was some cleaner air near to the ground, and he sucked it in as much as he dared, risking opening his eyes wide to try to see where he was, and even which way he was facing. He could see the wag in the distance, so he turned around somehow. Jack began to run back toward the others. His legs were unsteady at first, his breath coming short. But after a few steps, he regained his footing and started to move with assurance. Even the gas still in the air around him was less of a concern than before. His lungs and eyes were so full of the gas, every rasping breath like a razor, every blink like needles, that it couldn't get any worse. He could adjust easily once he knew this. As he drew near to the area around the wag, he ran into a cloud that was still dissipating. Jack had made it back, but all the companions were in no shape to discuss what had just happened. Jack helped Ryan to his feet, then tapped JB on the shoulder, indicating with signs alone that they should grab Mildred and Doc and get back behind the sandbank in which the wag had embedded itself.
Ooh. graphic audio, a movie in your mind.